We have another medical story now. This week, the Bush administration announced plans for $150 million in grants to create a computerized database for medical records.
Within 10 years, we want most Americans to have electronic health care records.
But for now, among the CT scanners and other high-tech devices in hospitals and doctors' offices, something stands out: thick manila folders with handwritten patient histories. NPR's Joanne Silberner visited a physician in Atlanta who works at two hospitals, and she saw the difference electronic records make.
Dr. Leslie Rubin takes care of children with cerebral palsy, a condition that causes a whole series of serious health problems. On this summer day, Ruben is running a cerebral palsy clinic at Hugh Spalding Hospital in Atlanta's inner city. Patients come to the clinic a few times a year so Ruben can oversee their care. The place is clean and bright, but there are few computers. Right away, Leslie Rubin runs into problems. His first patient is 3 years old, with thick, dark hair. Alexander Piedra lies in his stroller. His limbs splay out of his blue overalls. A tube in his nose feeds him oxygen. Alexander has difficulty breathing. Dr. Rubin thinks he might need a tonsillectomy to make it easier.
I last saw the little boy in March, and I had been worried enough to send him to the ear, nose, and throat doctor. But I looked in the hospital records, there's no report from the ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Dr. Rubin is frustrated. There's nowhere that medical records are more important than with patients with difficult conditions like cerebral palsy.
They've got motor problems, they've got learning problems, they've got complex medical problems.
Dr. Rubin needs to know if the ear, nose, and throat doctor wants Alexander to have the tonsillectomy. But there's nothing on it in Alexander's chart. So Rubin calls Alexander's primary care doctor at a hospital across the way. That doctor's on vacation. The covering doctor stopped what he was doing to find Alexander's record. It says the ear, nose, and throat doctor wants a sleep study before he decides. So the tonsillectomy is further delayed. Rubin takes time to call the sleep lab and schedule the sleep study himself.
It's taken me at least 3/4 of an hour longer than it should have because we couldn't get the records. So now here I am, flustered and frustrated because I haven't even left the floor, but I've been on the phone with three people to get this information.
Dr. Rubin has been out of the room for half the consultation. Alexander's mother's patient, but she's been here for 3 hours and she still has more appointments today. She'll see an orthopedist and a wheelchair specialist, and she got here at 7:30 in the morning. Claudia Piedra is doing her best to coordinate things among all these doctors. She holds a gallon-sized Ziploc bag full of papers, prescriptions, instructions, every bit of information doctors have given her. She knows she's the only one who will have these records on hand.
Well, I bring all the papers with me. I made sure that I bring all the papers with me.
Ruben finally finishes with Alexander. Chertel's out, he races down the hall to the next patient, a little girl. She's the second of 19 patients he'll see in his 12-hour day. With almost every appointment, he'll have to search for records and quiz the parent on previous medical care. The next day, Ruben sees cerebral palsy patients at Emory Children's Center in suburban Atlanta.
Come in.
Hello, everybody. How are you? Hi. I remember you. I saw this little girl when she was a puppy.
Hi.
A little puppy in her mother's lap.
Habone is three now. Like her mother, she has long limbs, though hers are slightly twisted. Her head bobs occasionally down on her frilly yellow dress. Her mother reflexively wipes her drool every few minutes. Again, Dr. Rubin is concerned about his patient's breathing.
Her chest sounds nice and clear, but sometimes I hear like...
That's what you just did?
Yeah. Now, does that happen often?
Yeah, she does that.
To find out what's going on, Rubin may need to drop a tube down Habone's throat to see if anything was blocking it. Not a test you want to do on a child unless you have to. So Rubin decides to find out if any of her other doctors have done it. He turns to his assistant.
I would need reports from each of those to get a sense of what's going on.
GI.
It would be GI, ortho, and neuro. Any other doctors before we go on?
The ultimate goal of the president's plan is that Rubin would be able to punch Habone's ID number into a handheld computer, identify himself, and get access to all her test results. Emory Children's Center isn't there yet, but there are computers at the nursing station with data from Emory-affiliated hospitals. Rubin sends his assistant down the hall to check.
So there she is, and it comes up with all her information. It looks like she was in the hospital in January, and she was there for 3 days with a diagnosis of gastroesophageal reflux and underwent a laparoscopic surgical procedure to fix that.
She prints out the information and is back with Dr. Rubin in 3 minutes.
When did you see about the laryngomalacia? Was it in one of these?
It's in her discharge summary, and she also had airway.
Have a look at that.
Here.
Okay, so we've got it.
Habone's records show she has a weak windpipe that can flop around when she's breathing.
When she breathes,
Dr. Rubin doesn't have to order the test. He can move on to the next step, a sleep study to see if she needs a machine to help her breathe at night or a tracheostomy. The Center for Information Technology Leadership looked at national hospital and physician records and estimated that 20% of outpatient procedures and tests are done only because results of previous tests can't be found. But establishing a uniform medical record will be a challenge, says Janet Corrigan. She analyzes health policy at the Institute of Medicine, which advises the federal government on science and policy issues.
The healthcare system is highly decentralized. There are tens of thousands of healthcare providers, about 5,000 hospitals, and very large numbers of providers in small practice settings. All of those providers have to change the way that they do their work. They not only have to make the upfront investments and get the electronic health record systems in place, but oftentimes when you put the new systems in place, there is a certain degree of resistance.
But she says it absolutely has to be done, in no small part, because she and other health analysts believe that illegible prescriptions, unclear orders, and incomplete information are the biggest cause of medical errors. And medical errors kill 100,000 people a year in the U.S.
All righty. Hello, everybody. How's it going?
Dr. Leslie Rubin is also anxious to replace his worn-out Palm Pilot with something that will show him his patient's complete and up-to-date medical histories.
I think there's no way where computerized records are more important than complicated kids with severe, complex medical problems. Okay. Nothing more important.
Meanwhile, he'll make up the gap with lots of energy, attention, and devotion to his patients.
Today? Hello, little girl. And it says, I love my mommy on her verb. Beautiful little girl, isn't she? Mikaya. Does it mean anything?
Joe Ansel Berner, NPR News.
Our story was produced by Giselle Grayson.